Good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. And welcome. So as we had mentioned before we broke for a few weeks, we'd like to begin learning Hilchos Shabbos now. Hilchos Shabbos is something which I don't think it needs too much of an introduction to this island, but it's good. Just a few words. We know that Chazal tell us Shabbos is shkula keneged kol hamitzvos. Shabbos is unquestionably one of the fundamental mitzvos and yesodos of all of the Yiddishkeit. While all mitzvos are important, significant, and necessary, and play a role in the shleimus of the Torah and the shleimus of a yid, but there are those that carry more weight. In a sense, like given the Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal that if a person let's say he's in a certain profession and he works as a carpenter and he has a carpenter shop and he has a sign outside saying Plony's carpentry shop, and as time goes on he begins to become less involved in the business. Whether maybe he has fewer customers, or maybe he's getting older, or whatever it is, he starts being involved less and less in the business, and he's not there every day, and maybe he keeps shorter hours, etc., and he doesn't take as many jobs. But as long as there's still the sign over the door saying, Yussel is carpentry, so he's still in business. He might not be up to par. Maybe he's not, like I said, maybe he's not keeping to the same extent. He's not running the business the same way he was once before, whether it's his decision or anyone, or because of factors beyond his control. But there's still a business. The sign is still there. There's still a carpentry shop. And if you need a job done, so you just got to work out to get there at the right time, in the right day, in the right hours, and you can hopefully get your job done. But once, if you come by one day and say, oh, the sign is gone, that means he's out of business. Nigmar. He's no longer. There's no longer a carpentry shop. So he says Shabbos is that way. Shabbos is like the sign. Shabbos, Chazal call it an os, right? It's an os between the Eibishter and Klal Yisrael. That we have emunah b'Hashem, and we believe that he created the world in 6 days, and that he controls the world, etc., etc. And as long as a person is shomer Shabbos, even if he's not doing everything else that he should properly, he's not 100% nizer in all the other mitzvahs, and he's lacking, he's falling short. So there's no excuse for that, and he's going to have to, there's going to be a din v'cheshbon on everything. As we know the famous story from the Vilna Gaon, was once imprisoned by some Goyish authorities, and there's another Jew there, and they brought them bread to eat. At one point, and the Vilna Gaon said to the fellow there, okay, we have to wash to eat. So he says, me wash? I don't do anything. He says, it doesn't make a difference to me whether you put on tefillin and daven, but you have a mitzvah to wash. We eat bread, you have a mitzvah to wash. Don't tell me you don't do anything. Right now, the mitzvah is to wash, come wash. So, of course, the person, even if Chas V'Shalom, the person doesn't keep Shabbos, but he has to do everything else, or as I said, a person does keep Shabbos, but he doesn't do other things, is going to have to answer. But at least if he keeps Shabbos, we call him, he's with the program. We know that's usually the expression. We talk about a Jew, is he a Shomer Shabbos, right? Is he a Shomer Shabbos? So Shomer Shabbos, that means he's with the program. He might not be sufficiently, he might need to improve in certain things, but he's with the program. But once, if he's not Shomer Shabbos, then that's a sign that he's doing something else. He's completely off the track. So that's the Chafetz Chaim's mashal. So Shabbos is so essential to Yiddishkeit, because Shabbos is the oath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established, that we accept him as the Beshefer, as the Creator, and as our God, and as the one who dictates what we should do, and the one who's gives us our lives and everything we have. So, and Shabbos has a lot of malachas that are the 39 malachas asur in Shabbos, and each of the 39 malachas has numerous toldos. In fact, there's, I think Yerushalmi, I think that says that every one of the 39 malachas has 39 toldos. I mean, the av malachas, the 39 main categories of malach, and each one has subcategories. and in each one there were so many halachas, and then there were many dinim derabbanan, and there are so many things that shilas that come up based on the times, based on our contemporary lifestyle, shilas that the chachamim didn't have back in the time of the Gemara. They may have the yisodos, the principles from which we can, you know how to answer these shilas and how to determine if something is okay to do on Shabbos or not, will be based on yisodos, on principles that we have in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, but they have to be drawn out and applied and understood properly in order to be applied. So there are many dinim Shabbos, and many of them are nogeya on a regular basis. Not necessarily everything every Shabbos, but there are things that are nogeya every single Shabbos, and things that are nogeya frequently, etc. There's so much to learn on Shabbos, and even if we know basic Hilchos Shabbos, but it's something that that always needs to be reviewed and learned in greater detail whenever possible. And as I said, we're learning Shabbos now in the Kol and Aventura, and see, there's so many more shvarim than the last time I learned, discussing so many, you know, new shilas and different shilas, and even than the last time I learned Shabbos a number of years back. It's constantly that way. And the Mishnah himself says in the Hakdam, I think he brings from Rabbi Yonasan and Abishas, that if a person is not I forget the exact lashon, but basically if a person is not well versed in Hilchos Shabbos and not really on top of Hilchos Shabbos, it's basically impossible to go through a single Shabbos without doing something wrong, without slipping up on something, because there's so many details, so much to know, that if a person is not on top of things, he's bound to slip up in something. So this is one of the reasons why it's I think it's a very important that we learn Hilchos Shabbos, the review of Hilchos Shabbos. I think it's a very good thing to do at this point. And it'll just be most of an additional thing. We're standing now about 2.5 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah this year, according to the schedule, according to the luach that we use, until we have a Sanhedrin again or whatever it is, but according to our luach, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos this year, right? First day of Rosh Hashanah, which Minat Torah is only one day, is Aleph Tishrei, is a Shabbos. And we know that when Aleph Tishrei is a Shabbos, the Chachamim said we do not blow shofar, even though Tkiya shofar is a super essential mitzvah for Rosh Hashanah, but we don't do it on Shabbos. If Aleph Tishrei is Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. Why not? Because the Chachamim were afraid that a person may, on Rosh Hashanah itself, which is Shabbos, may need to brush up on Hilchos Tkiya shofar, or exactly how to blow the shofar, and he may carry the shofar. He may take his shofar and carry out in Rosh HaRabim to bring it to a chacham to help give him, to show him exactly how to blow the shofar. And because of that chash, that maybe somebody will end up being mechalal Shabbos because of the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, the chachamim remove the mitzvah. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, there's no mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. The second day we blow it. Sunday is the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar. But the ikar Rosh Hashanah, the din d'oraisa is Aleph Tishrei, is the first day, and they completely eliminated the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar in such a circumstance. Now, the Gemara says that kol shana, any year she'ein token b'tchilasa, any year when we don't have tkiyah shofar at the beginning, meirin la b'sofa, chas v'shalom, will be bad things by the end of the year. There'll be chas v'shalom some bad things. That's what the Gemara says. So now, various mefarshim explain, it's not referring to a case like this. It's referring to a case where there is a mitzvah tkiyah shofar and one doesn't do it for whatever reason. But there seems to be, but when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so there the very fact that we're not blowing shofar in order to protect the Shabbos, so that we don't chas v'shalom be mechal shofar, or that nobody's mechal Shabbos. That's why we're not blowing shofar. So we're being mevatel that mitzvah in order to preserve the sanctity of Shabbos. So that itself is the schus that will protect us, that we won't have to suffer chas v'shalom for anything bad. So it's appropriate, therefore. And Rabbi Blazer mentioned this a few years back, when I think it was 3 years ago that Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos as well, and he spoke about it then. And for a while, I think the Kollel was focusing on Shabbos. I think the Mishmars were focusing on Shabbos, in order that it's appropriate that we try in a year such as the upcoming year, when it's going to start without Tkiyah Shofar. There's not going to be Tkiyah Shofar in Aleph Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. So it's appropriate to we should be mechazik our Shemira Shabbos, because if we're banking on the schus of Shabbos to protect us, that we're guarding the Shabbos by not blowing shofar, so that'll protect us and fill in for the lack of the schus of shofar will be complemented or will be replaced by the schus of Shemira Shabbos. So it's appropriate that we make sure that our Shemira Shabbos is up to par. So that's another reason why it's particularly apropos now to begin now during Elul, as we're approaching Shnas Tavshin Pei Dalet, and to spend our time, our shiur, on being mechazeg our yediyah, our knowledge of Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, so with that basic introduction, a person can speak for days and alone about Shabbos, but with that just a little introduction. So I want to begin. What I want to begin with is the malacha of Bishul, which the malacha of generally translated or loosely translated cooking on Shabbos. And which is a malacha, which is one of the malachas that has a lot of relevant details, relevant for us, meaning even though none of us are going to take a pot of anything and put it on the flame on Shabbos and cook dinner on Shabbos, we know not to do that. But there's a lot more to the Isser Bishul than just that. So let's begin. Now, if you look in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel, which lists the 39 malachas. List all the 39 malachas. There's no malacha there which is called Bishul or Mevashel. It doesn't say that. What it does say is Ha'ofeh. Ha'ofeh, which we translate as one who bakes. Baking or afia usually means taking, say, grains and maybe mixing it with water, making a dough, but then baking it without water, just putting it in a hot oven and creating food, edible food, that way, without... not in water. Bishul, on the other hand, mevashel usually refers to cooking something in water, meat or fish or vegetables or grains for that matter, but cooking it in water. That's called mevashel. Ofe is baking without water. But it's all one malacha. And they are both avos malachas, according to the main mahalach. They're both avos malacha. It's not like one is the main malacha, the av, and the other is the toldo. Although, I should point out that a tolda of a malacha is also chayiv. Carries the same weight, the same punishment as the av malacha. If a person violates Shabbos, Rechman al-Hassan, if a person does it bemazed intentionally, he knows that it's Shabbos and he knows it's usher, and he does it anyway. So if he does it in front of two edim and they warn him in advance and he does it anyway, bizman abay is chayiv misa's base, it's chayiv skila, right? It's chayiv skila. If he does it bemazed with no edim, nobody's watching or nobody's warning him, and he does, but he knows it's usher. He knows it's usher, and he goes in and violates Shabbos. So deraisa is chayiv kares, which means a type of misa b'dei shamayim, or Rechman son dying, losing one's children in his lifetime. Rechman son is chayiv kares, and if he does it b'shogeg, meaning he didn't know it was usher, he knew it was Shabbos, but I didn't know you're not allowed to do this. And it turns out he does think which is usher min haTorah. He finds out later, or he knew that this thing is usher in Shabbos, but he didn't realize it was Shabbos. He forgot it was Shabbos, or he didn't realize it was Shabbos. So then he's chayav carbon chatas. So they bring a carbon chatas, which is a serious matter in the time of the bias. Carbon chatas is, you know, big an animal. It's an expensive venture, and it's chayav chatas. And in fact, the Gemara says, the Gemara brings a maisa about one of the Tanoim who violated Shabbos b'shogeg, and he says that he said k'shibana beis hamikdash, he wrote down, I so and so, you know, we violated Shabbos b'shogeg k'shibana beis hamikdash avi chatas shmeina, I'll bring a fat carbon chatas, fat animals as a kapara. So even nowadays is technically the idea of keeping track if we could. Some say that it only applies though if the Beis Hamikdash would have been rebuilt in his time. If it happens after his misa and you know and Tchias HaMeisim, it wouldn't apply. But did you want to say
that? The person that does a mistake like that needs to bring a korban hatat. Do they need to bring a korban hatat for each mistake, for each Shabbat, for?
So there's if you look at very interesting the beginning, the seventh parak of Shabbos called Kal Gadol, talks about exactly what's mechalik, at what point, let's say if he did more than one aveira because he forgot it was Shabbos, and on the same forgetting he did one or two things or three things, what is he chayiv, or at what point, when is it nischalik, if it's the same malacha, different malacha, that's the whole discussion there. If you want to see the details of that, I would take a look just even at the Mishnayos in the seventh parak of Shabbos. That's where that is all discussed. So what I was saying, the point I was making is that even a tolda is chai of the same thing. If a person, whether it's an av malacha or a tolda is also in the Torah and also carries the same punishment. That there are the rabbanans which don't carry that punishment, but an av. So, but either way, but the ma'aseh, what I'm saying is mevashel and ofa are both. Both of those malachas, and so is tzolat tzliyam. Tzliyam means roasting of something. Roast something on a flame, not let's say roast meat on an open flame. That's called tzli or tigun. If he sautés something or cooks it in oil, these are all forms of the same malacha deraisa of which the Mishnah calls ofe. The Mishnah in Shabbos calls Ofeh because the Mishnah is talking about Sidur at the Pas. It's talking about the malachas, how they bring about baking a loaf of bread. That's the whole list of malachas at the beginning of the Mishnah. So it uses the word Ofeh. But Ofeh, and we typically call it Mavashal. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, the name of a Simon Shin Yud Ches is Din HaMavashal B'Shabbos. We usually call it Mavashal, but it's all the same thing. Now,
Told is the Reisa?
Told is the Reisa, yes. Told is the Reisa, and the Chai have the same punishment as the Av. Now, there are two. We could divide the malacha mavashal also into two categories in the sense that there is bishul or afia when it comes to food, preparing food, making food edible, is through fire. Whether it's like I said through cooking it in water or directly over the flame or something like that. That is called or fire or anything that was heated up from fire, meaning if you have a burning pot of a boiling pot of water which you heated up over the fire, let's say you heat it up before Shabbos and you drop raw food into that and it cooks in that water, that's also chayev min hatorah. That according to many is a tolda, right? If you don't cook with the fire itself but you cook with something else that was heated up by the fire, like the water, have a boiling pot of water. Even if I take it off the fire and it's still burning hot, it's well over 200 degrees and very, very hot, and I drop some raw ingredients into it and they cook, then that is considered, that is malacha d'oraisa bishul as well, because I cooked in something that received its heat from a fire.
What if I heat the water to a temperature above yad soled bo using the sun and I throw a raw egg?
No, if you cook in the sun, directly in the sun, that is actually mutter to do on Shabbos. It's not only is it not an issa d'oraisa, it's not even us mitzvah rabban. If you're cooking directly in the sun, you take a raw egg or something else that's easily cooks, and you're in a place where there's a strong sun, and you cook directly in the sun, it's mutter. If you cook on something else which was heated up by the sun, meaning you heat up some metal, and let's say a car is in the sun, and car, you know, the hood of the car is metal, it reflects or absorbs the heat and conducts the heat and gets nice and burning hot, and then you crack an egg open on the hood of the car and the hood of the car cooks it, that's aser midrabanan. That's called toldos chama. The chama is the sun cooking in the chama directly. Even if you put it out on a metal plate, but a cold metal plate, you put it into the sun, you put the food, the raw egg, you crack it open on a metal plate and put that out in the sun, and the sun heats up the egg and the metal at the same time. That's mutter. That's called cooking in the chama. Bishul chama is mutter. But if you already heat up the metal in advance from the sun, and then you cook the egg on the hot metal, that's called cooking betoldos chama, something you hit by the sun, that's also midrabanan. But if you cook in eish, in fire, or toldos eish, something else that got hot from the fire, such as this water which you heated up on the fire, you cook in that, that's asum in hatara. That's an issa deraisa, that is a tolda of the melacha of mevashal. So, as I was saying, there's one category is cooking food, making food edible, taking raw food and making it edible, and we'll talk about what does that mean, edible, or you know, what degree of edibility is an issa deraisa, that's mevashel. And then there is another category of bishul which doesn't apply to food. If you heat up metal on Shabbos, if you heat up metal to the point where it becomes, or is moldable, it becomes
malleable.
Thank you. Oh yeah, so you're in business, huh? Or not your business. So what you do on the side when you're not occasionally when you're not learning, it makes something soft in the sun so that you could mold it into different shapes and make things out of it. That is also an issa deraisa of bishul. It's nothing to do with eating. You're not making it edible. It's not food, and it's not going to be edible. But it's you make metal, and you soften metal to that it could be formed into something else, which is 1 second. Or you make it, you heat it up until it becomes a glowing, like a glowing ember that it could burn other things. Or if you take anything hard and soften it in the fire, if you take hard wax or pitch and you soften it by fire so that it could be used, things could be made out of it. All these things are an iser deraisa of mevashel. So it's mevashel, even though it's not food and it doesn't become edible, but it changes you. Your merapa es hakasha. You soften down a hard substance, and you soften it to the point where you can now make something out of it or move it around, reshape it. That is an iser deraisa of bishul.
Let's say somebody has like a water boiler for Shabbat. The water gets super hot. And they put a plastic glass. The glass goes like this.
Wow, Gavaldi, you're hitting on this. It's one of the shilas that's spoken about by the contemporary poskim.
Uh-huh.
If are you allowed to pour hot water? Are you, or how are you allowed to pour hot water into a thin disposable cup? You know, the thick ones, the thick plastic ones, won't nothing happen. The thin ones, they could begin to melt a little if you. Right, very good. So a number of poskim address this. Wasn't going to bring it up now, but you mentioned it, so. I will glad to discuss it. A number of posts can discuss this, and they say it's mutter to do for a few different reasons. One reason I want to say, I draw out from a tshuva of the Igros Moshe. He's not addressing this. I didn't see anywhere Moshe addresses, but Moshe is addressing if there's an iser bishul on bone, chicken bones in a chalent. Let's say you have a chalent, and the chalent is fully edible. Well, we have to skip a few steps to talk about this, but we're going to talk about all these things, Bishan. But let's say the chalent is fully edible, the potatoes, the meat, and whatever is edible. But there are some bones in the chalent which will still get softer. You took the chalent off the fire, and you want to be able to put it back onto the fire, complying with all the rules of putting things back onto the fire in Shabbos, which Bez Hashem, hopefully, we'll learn about somewhere down the line. And you want to do what's called chazar, right? Everybody knows the terms roughly. So you want to do chazar. You want to put it back on the flame. So it has to be fully cooked in order to put it back on the flame. So let's say the food is fully cooked, but the chicken bones are still going to get softer. They're going to get softer if you put them. So Ramosh is discussing if that's an iser or not. And in the course of this discussion, Ramosh says that this iser of softening a hard thing is only if you're doing it for a tachlis, for a purpose, to use it for something. So Rav Moshe says, for example, let's say you have a can or some food package which is being held shut by a piece of metal, where the only way to remove the metal is to soften it. You would have to heat it up so you could soften the metal and then you could remove it. And assuming there's no other reason why this food package can't be opened on Shabbos. But the one problem is that there's a piece of metal, which a hard piece of metal, which is blocking the opening, and the way to open it is to soften the metal and heat. Says Rav Moshe, you'll be mutter to do that. You'll be mutter to do that. Why? Because he says you're not softening the metal to use it, to reshape it, to reform it. To use. You're softening just to get rid of it. You're softening to remove it, not to use it, but to remove it. Rav Moshe says that's not awesome. Maybe he wants to say, but the chicken bones, you know, that comes again in chicken bones there as well, where if you're not softening them for use them for anything, that's where Moshe is, you know, wants to say that's not a problem. Maybe we'll get back to that discussion at some point later. It's a back and forth between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. But based on that svara, l'chari here too, when you pour the hot water into the cup, you're not trying to do anything. You don't want to use it. In fact, you wish the cup wouldn't, you know, like melt in your hand, it becomes hard to handle it. You wish the cup, you would prefer if the cup would remain sturdy. So, l'fi da'ar ha'mashal l'chara, it's pashta should be mutter. Rosh Shlomo Zalman addresses the Shaila and says it's mutter, because it's the type of thing where when you're not trying to, this is not your kavan at all. You have no desire to soften this thing, even though it might be a psikoresha, it might be an inevitable consequence. But when an inevitable consequence in this type of thing, where what you're doing something for a totally different purpose, so the resultant act that the cup becomes soft is not even attributed to you. We don't look at it like that's a maisa bishul. A comparison might be to, let's say, there's an issur on Shabbos to plant, right? Or to enhance the growth of a plant, right? You can't water a plant on Shabbos and help you have a plant in soil or outside. You can't water it on Shabbos. Or for that matter, let's say you have a plant in your house and you want it to move it into the sun. The sunlight will help it grow. It's usher to do that on Shabbos. But leaving out whether you can move it all together else muksa, but even if you could, you would not be allowed. Or let's say there's something blocking the sun. You have a plant sitting here on the table, and the sun is being blocked by the window shade, and I want to remove the window shade in order to allow the sun to stream in and hit my plant and help it grow more. I would not be allowed to do that on Shabbos. But let's say I want to pick up the window shade because I want light in the house. I want to be able to see, or I want to see outside. There happens to be, there's a plant there, which is going to benefit, because when I lift the window shade, the sun is going to enter the room and is going to hit this plant, and the plant's going to benefit. But it's totally not within my intentions. That's not what I'm doing it for. And I'm oblivious to the plant. I'm just opening the window shade. It happens to be that it's gonna happen. So that would be mutter to do. That is based on a Mishnah Melech. That would be mutter to do, because we don't look, even though it's inevitable that it's gonna consequence that the plant's gonna get the sunlight. But when what I'm doing is for a totally different reason. This result is not even like, it's not nisyach. It's not attributed to my maisa. So here too, I think that's the idea of Rosh Shlomo Zalman is saying. You can find this it's brought in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo in Siman Shin Yuches. When you're pouring the water into the cup in order to drink your hot water, the fact that the cup softens and becomes able to besides, he says, it doesn't really become so soft usually that you could make it into something else. But even if it would, it's not attributed to your maisa. I saw another sar quote from Rabbi Yashiv that the Isser is only softening something hard, not further softening something soft. Something that's already soft, like this disposable cup, to make it softer is not the Isser. The Isser is only to soften a hard substance. This is another place one of the Sfarim brings down from Rabbi Yashiv, seemed to bring down that Rabbi Yashiv said it wasn't mutter, it's not mutter to do this. Assuming both Shmuel so correct, maybe the difference in how hard the cup is. Maybe if it's a cup that's somewhat hard but will soften from the hot water, maybe that Rabbi Yashiv did say is us, or whereas if it's soft, maybe if not. It's hard to know. These are all quotes. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it's not a quote. It's, I think it's from the thing he actually wrote. It's brought in the Shulchan Shlomo, but I believe it's from his own Ksavim. And the Ramesha is something I'm drawing out from a Tshuva Sikr Shmosha. Ramesha, again, doesn't address the Shaila, but he addresses the Shaila I told you. And I think the Yisod, he says, would say that it's mutter to pour the hot water.
Going back to he cooking the egg with the sun in a mutter way, that would be if it was in the pan, but the pan was cold.
Just put them both out in the sun.
But wouldn't the sun be heating the pan faster than it's heating the egg? And then really the egg is being cooked really by the heat of the pan.
Possibly, but the Sfarim write, a number of Sfarim say, that as long as this, b'vas achas, you're cooking the food, the sun is only, the pan is only receiving the sunlight at the same time as the egg is, then it's mutter to do that. I saw that a number of Sfarim bring it down that way, yes. Okay, so now, so we're going to talk primarily about, bishul by food, not the bishul by other things. Maybe we'll have some examples of bishul by the other stuff, but primarily we talk about bishul by food. Okay, so now, at what point is it called bishul? If there are all sorts of levels of making something hot. Let's say I have some cold water or room temperature water, and I put it next to, I have a hot crock pot, which is plugged in from before Shabbos, nice and hot, and I put the cup of water next to it, and it gets a little bit warmer, right? It was cold water, and it got a little bit warmer. At what point is it considered bishul? So by liquids, like the example I just gave you, the halacha is, has to, only if you bring it to yad soledesbo, which is the term you used before, yad soledesbo. Yad soledesbo literally means that the hand, cringes from it, or the hand gets a little you know, withdraw. Your hand will touch it and withdraw because the heat is too intense for your hand. That's literally what it means. What that temperature is, though, is a big discussion in postgame. You can't just judge it by your hand because it's first of all, not everybody's hand is the same, and not everybody's a level of heat. Heat tolerance is the same, and it depends on your age. It said anyway. The Gemara doesn't even describe it by your hand. The Gemara describes it by a different measure. But the poskim discuss the poskim through in recent Doros and maybe earlier discuss what temperature that is. So there's a very big range in Yad Lesbo between what we consider it lechumra. At what point we are already choshesh, we're concerned that this might be Yad Lesbo, and therefore you can't do it. As opposed to at what point we say it's vadai, it's definitely yatzal et esbo, where it would be a kul. There are some times where it's going to be a kul. It's going to be once you bring it to yatzal et esbo, then, or once it's yatzal et esbo already from before Shabbos, then you could be lenient, you know, you could do X, Y, Z. So yatzal et esbo has situations where it's a chumrah and situations where it's a kula. So we're machmer lechumrah based on Yigris Moshe, even from 110 degrees Fahrenheit. From 110 Fahrenheit, we already consider it that it's possibly, that might be Yatzal et esbo.
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot, no. Some give numbers a little bit higher, 113 or whatever. You know, there are other numbers given, but for Meshi, the low would be 110. Until 160 Fahrenheit, we wouldn't consider it Vada Yatzal et esbo. To be Vada Yatzal et esbo, Rav Moshe writes in one shuv in Hilchos Shabbos that it has to be 160. So once it's 160, then you could consider it vada yatzal et esbo, and whatever kulas will result from that, is hopefully we'll see some, would apply at that point. Sorry. But lechumra, you should be careful. So if you want to take this cup of water, like I said, and put it next to a source of heat, if you know for sure there's no way it could get to be 110 degrees, even though I left it all day, I'm not putting it on the crock pot. And even touching the crock pot, but near the crock pot, so there's a little heat that, you know, the chill of the water will go off a little bit, but there's no way it's going to get to 110 degrees. So then it's mutter to do it. It's mutter to do it, even lechatchila. There is no isser to cause water or any other liquid, and certainly not any solid, there's no isser to cause it to get to a temperature which is less than yatzal et esbo, so we're saying less than 110 degrees. Now, however, once it could get to yatzal et esbo, then that already would be usher to do on Shabbos. That would be at least the beginning range of the isser. Now,
if it was already cooked,
we'll get to isser. Maybe I'm not sure. It's on the notes for today. I don't know if we'll get to it today. But if it's a solid food, so there the beginning of Bishul is described as what's called Michael Ben Drusoy. When you cooked it to Michael Ben Drusoy. Ben Drusoy was actually a person. The Gemara says he was a bandit. The Gemara, you know, mentions him. Then he was a bandit, and he couldn't hang around in any one place too long because he didn't want to get caught by the authorities. So he was constantly on the run. So when he prepared his food, he didn't wait for it to get fully cooked. He cooked his food only partially cooked, and then he ate it. So how much is Michael Ben Drusoy? There's a machlokas Rishonim if it's a third cooked or a half cooked. Machlokas, the Rashi and the Rambam, is it a third cooked or a half cooked? But whatever it is, it's definitely much less than fully cooked. So once you bring food to Michael Ben Drusoy, in other words, if you expose food on Shabbos to heat, the heat of a fire, or something else that was heated up by a fire, like I said before, and it brings the food, it causes the food to get cooked to the stage of Michael Ben Drusoy, then you violated Shabbos, you're Mechal Shabbos Min HaTorah. Well, no, see, it's not a temperature here by food. It's a stage of readiness to eat. Now, it's like I mentioned, let's say a third. Okay, let's say it's a third cooked. It has to be a third cooked. If it's not a third cooked, even if it's yatzal et esbo, like if you take a raw food and you heat up the yatzal et esbo, it's almost all cases not going to be a third cooked yet. Now, how do we judge a third cooked? So the Chazanish says we judge in time. How much time if this thing takes an hour to cook? So a third cooked with me in a third of an hour. Right, 20 minutes. If they're cooking in 20 minutes. Others say differently because, you know, when you cook something, it takes an hour, it cooks a lot more in the last 20 minutes than it does the first 20 minutes, right? The last half hour than the first half hour, because the more cooked it gets, the quicker it continues.
It depends on the food. Depends on the food also.
For each food.
But also, like, what the heat source is on, like how hot it is and all that.
Well, he'd be talking about.
Does the temperature play a huge role? You know, to know if it's cooked or not.
Well, it plays a role in getting it to be cooked, but we're judging by a level of readiness to eat. Right, the isser is when you make it a third ready to eat. So others say it doesn't go by time, but it goes by, you know, by echus, by the food itself. It's like, you know, it's like, let's say you take a potato. You judge a potato if you cooked it. Oh, it's still quite hard. It's not like it was. It's not like when you took it out of the bag, and it's partially ready. But it's it's also described. Machal Ben Yosai has described as something you could eat b'shas hadchak. In a pinch, you could eat it, like Ben Drusai. Ask him; he eats it all the time. That's what he's always in a pinch. So he eats his food, Michael Ben Drusai.
It's not talking about like a steak or something.
Wait a second.
It's not talking about like a steak or something.
What do you mean? It's not talking about a steak?
It's something you could just eat quickly. I'm thinking like a steak, half done is gonna be way less cooked than even rare.
Okay.
Where a third cooked.
But talking about a very basic level of edibility. Talking about where it's just like I said, aydei adchak. Most people would not consider it really edible. It's edible if you're stuck. You could eat it. It's not like eating raw food, mamish.
And if it's something that you can eat raw.
So then, if you could eat raw, but there's still an apple. But there's a raw apple and then there's a cooked apple and they're different. So we'd still go by when it's a third of the way to what's called a cooked apple or a carrot. You can eat a raw carrot stick, right? But this a cooked carrot is a different...
Yeah, thanks for everything.
Chefza. So when it's a third of the way towards being having been called a cooked carrot.
Okay.
So now, but what I want to bring out is like this, that Yatzaletz Bo is the level where it's considered cooking already on Shabbos for a salad food. Less than Yatzaletz Bo is definitely not an Isser Torah. The Shaila is that even Asa Midah Rabbanan? I mean, by a liquid, we said before Yatzel Letus Bo, I think I might use the word wrong word, but I'll clarify. By a liquid, before Yatzel Letus Bo, it's not even Asa at all. You're allowed to do it. You're allowed to heat up water or warm up water to the point where it's not going to be yet Yatzel Letus Bo, and it can't get to Yatzel Letus Bo. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. But a food, we said that the level at which it's considered cooked min haTorah, or the beginnings of being cooked, is Michael Ben Drusai. If you bring it to Michael Ben Drusai, you did an Isser Torah. But if you did, what happens if you bring it to less than Michael Ben Drusai? Is that mutter, like liquid before you have Sledes Bo? Or no, is it going to be that by a solid food also, once you get it to Yad Sledes Bo, then... or you've already done at least an Issa d'Rabbanan. It's clearly only an Issa d'Rabbanan at most, right? It's not an Issa d'Raisa until Michael Ben Drusai. Shaz, is it even an Issa d'Rabbanan? Or is it totally mutter to bring about cooking which is less than one third? Right? That's the Shaila. So this is Machlokas Poskim. I won't mention what it is now, but there's an indication, maybe next time we'll say there's an indication, Shulchan Aruch, that it's actually mutter. That if you, as long as it will not get to Michael Ben Drusai, it's mutter to cause a bit of cooking. I will mention briefly because the Shulchan Aruch talks about using dough. You have raw dough and you want to use it to seal a pot on Shabbos. You have a pot and you want to keep it the heat in. So in a hot pot in a place where it's very hot, and it says you're allowed to take raw dough and use it to seal the pot, you know, put it by the cover between the cover and the pot. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, if you do that, I mean, the dough might cook, right? You're just trying to seal the pot, but you might. This is raw dough; it might get cooked. So the Mishnah says, obviously, well, it seems that we're not worried that it's going to get to the point of what he calls basically Yad Soledes Bo, Krim Aspana, which could. It's not going to get to the point of Yad Soledes. I mean, I'm sorry, of Michael Ben Drusai. It's not going to get to the point of Michael Ben Drusai. But so what? It's not going to get Michael Ben Drusai, but it might get some degree, a little bit. It's going to get Yad Soledes Bo. You're putting it in a very hot pot. It seems that's not a problem. And I saw afterwards that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach brings this riot, the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchos quotes it, B'Shem Rosh Shlomo Zalman, And it's so, and Rabbi Yashiv also brought, according to Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, they seem to say there's no Isser at all if it's less than Mechel Ben Jusar. Rosh Shlomo Zalman for sure says, I mean, at least in the Shmer Shabbos, and I believe in the Mincha Shlomo as well, that if it's not going to get to Mechel Ben Jusar, it's Mutter. Others say not like that. The base, there's a Rosh Yosef, which is the Prima Gadim, used to say in Daf Lamed Ches, that it's Asum in HaTorah.
God's love as well?
Yes, it's Asum in HaTorah, because it's called Chatzi Shir. It's Chatzi Shir, Asum in HaTorah. Chatzi Shir, Asum in HaTorah.
Chatzi Shir of what?
Of Bishul. The shear is Meichel Ben Jusai, but once it's already Yes Lesbo, it's a Chatzi Shear. Chatzi Shear is Asim
and Atara. Chatzi Shear of Meichel Ben Jusai, Chatzi Shear of Bishul.
A Bishul. That Meichel Ben Jusai is Bishul, is the basic level of Bishul. But others say that it's not Usar al Chatzi Shear, because the base mayor says it's not called Chatzi Shear, it's called Chatzi Malacha. It's like Beis Meir's medametzu by carrying a Shabbos in order to be chayiv. You have to do an akira and hanach, right? You have to lift the thing up from where Rosh Hashanah and put it down in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or vice versa, whatever it is. Akira and hanach. If you do one without the other, it's only half the malach. It's only asim midi rabbanan. So the Beis Meir says that this is like doing an akira without hanach. It's only asim midi rabbanan. It's a chatzim malach, and that's what many other poskim say. Okay, so just to end with this for now. But so many poskim say it is asim midi rabbanan though. To want, even a solid food to bring it to Yad Selez would be Asim Yidur Rabbanan, even though to make it Asim till Malcham Ben Jusai, it's not going to be Asim Yidur Torah. We'll come back to this. Be'ez Hashem is Baruch. We got started. Okay. All right. Shukrayach, everyone. Thank you for coming. Cool. Okay. Take care. Have a good night. Okay. Take care, then.